Confound him. I'm Joseph. This is Input English. Today we have a story about Mr. Harper. But it's been a long time since we've dealt with this part of his saga, so I need to bring you up to speed on what's going on here. For those of you new to this channel, this story is one of many original stories created as comprehensible input for language learning. As you listen to these stories and understand them, you will acquire the English language. If you're new to comprehensible input, I have a lot of videos on how that works. This story is part of a playlist. The playlist is entitled Stories About the Mysterious Ben Harper. Ben Harper is not who he appears to be. There's quite a bit going on here. So that you will understand this story better, you need to know that Ben Harper is an alias. Ben Harper was the neighbor of Bobby and Craig and their parents, but Ben Harper was not his real name. That was an alias. Ben Harper was born Jacob Gilbert Miller in Boston in the early 1800s. In a previous episode, you learned that he received a talisman, that is an amulet that he wears around his neck, and the amulet prevents aging. So let's begin this episode about Gil. In this phase of his life, before and after he received the amulet, he went by the name of Gil, which is short for Gilbert. This episode begins with the exclamation, "Confound him!" Those words were uttered by Gil. They were uttered in a fairly lighthearted way. Frequently when you say, "Confound someone," "confound him," it is a condemnation. It is a very negative exclamation. And when I hear someone say, "Confound him," it sounds like they're trying to avoid swearing. They're trying to remain civil and yet still get their point across that they are not happy. Now, paradoxically, "confound him" can be said in a lighthearted way when you're not really very upset, not really irritated. And that's what you see here as this story begins. "Confound him." But it was said with a smile. So why is Gil irritated? And with whom? Well, he had received the amulet from Nicholas, and he had used his usual very detail-oriented approach to get Nicholas to tell him all about the implications of this amulet that prevents aging. He wanted to know all the details, and so he met with Nicholas daily, asking him lots of questions. He even asked open-ended questions, such as, "Is there anything else I need to know about this?" And Nicholas said, "No. No, you know everything you need to know." But now Gil is starting to understand that there's more to this than he had been told. Clearly, Nicholas had withheld information. This revelation by Gil has come upon him gradually. He's now had the amulet that he wears all the time for a couple of months. Nicholas had told him that his wife, Gil's wife, would not notice it. She would not see it. She would not know it was there. That was true. No one knew it was there. Only he knew it was there. For the most part, Gil felt normal. But a couple of weeks ago, he noticed something odd. He noticed that he was getting sensations, feelings, about what was going to happen in the very near future. He found it very irritating because he couldn't call up those sensations voluntarily. They just arrived. They just came upon him. But he couldn't concentrate and predict the future. It was common for him to be talking to someone and understand what they were going to say to him just before they said it. As he watched things unfold in his world, he got used to this sensation that something was about to happen, and then he would see it happen. He tried to harness this power, and he couldn't do it. He couldn't figure out how to call it up as something useful to him. Then one day, something big happened. He was walking in the street of Salem on his way to the store where he worked, the store he owns. It was a beautiful day, a light breeze, nothing out of the ordinary. Across the street, there was a young woman carrying a baby. They were walking in parallel, but on opposite sides of the street. He then got a funny sensation. His eye was drawn to a large tree, a large sycamore tree, further down the street. And then back to the lady and back to the sycamore. His attention was captured by this sensation. He got a feeling that if she walked past that tree, she would be killed. With that very strong sensation, he felt compelled to do something. He quickly crossed the street and interposed himself between the lady and the tree. She was astonished at his move, so he pardoned himself. He said, "I'm very sorry to accost you like this, but this is important." She paused to listen to him because so far it seemed reasonable, but she was still a little surprised at his behavior. Now, this is where Gil had to think fast. They are living in Salem, Massachusetts, in the mid-1800s. Salem, Massachusetts has a history of executing witches in the past. So having grown up in Salem, Gil didn't really want to act as if he had some sort of supernatural power. He did not want to call attention to himself. Such behavior ran contrary to his upbringing. So he had to think fast. What he said was, "I heard a crack sound in that tree. It sounds like one of the big branches is going to fall. I heard it clearly." The lady now objected. She said, "I didn't hear anything." And she looked around him at the tree and said, "The tree looks fine. I think you're imagining things." He said, "No, really, I heard a crack sound. I think there's real danger. It would be better if you would cross the street and walk further away from that tree." The lady said only one word, "Nonsense," and pushed past him. It was at that moment a gigantic limb fell from the tree and crashed to the street. Had she been in that location, she would have certainly been killed, and her baby probably would have been killed as well. With this event, Gil was not actually surprised because he had that premonition. He had that feeling that it was going to happen. The lady was completely astonished. Gil realized that he was not successful in convincing her of the coming danger, but he was very successful in slowing her progress so that when the tree shed its giant limb, she was not there in that location to be injured. At this point, she thanked him. She said, "That's amazing. I can't believe you just saved my life." I should have believed you. I just didn't hear the crack sound you talked about. But the limb fell, and you were absolutely correct. Thank you. Gil continued on his way to the store, marveling at this gift of premonition, but irritated that Nicholas had not told him about this, and that so far he has not been able to harness it. The second thing that Nicholas didn't tell Gil about came to light on this day of this episode. In the morning before work, Gil was reading, and he dropped his bookmark. He had a small card that he used as a bookmark, and he had placed it on the table next to his chair. But he was not paying attention to how he placed it, so as he put it on the table, it actually slipped to the floor. It fell like a leaf to the floor. Sensing that that occurred, he looked down at it and reached his arm as if to pick it up. He knew it was probably too far away, but nonetheless, he reached for it on the floor. As he reached for this small bookmark, it quivered, and then it moved quickly into his hand. The bookmark jumped about 6 inches from its resting place on the ground to his hand so that he could grasp it. He picked up the bookmark and held it with great surprise. This is when he said the words, "Confound him," referring to Nicholas, because Nicholas had not told him that the amulet carried with it telekinesis. Now Gil was very curious. So he tossed the bookmark on the floor in front of him. He reached over forward until his hand was about 6 inches from the bookmark. And then he thought, "Come." He couldn't call it up. He couldn't do it at will. It happened spontaneously, but he has no idea how to call up this extraordinary ability. This is why he said, "Confound him." With that, he reached down to the floor, all the way to the bookmark, and picked it up. He put it in the book and carefully put his book on the table. He realized that he would need to better understand this power of premonition and this power of telekinesis. He has no idea at this point if he will ever be able to control either of these phenomena, and he doesn't have any idea how powerful they are. After all, moving a bookmark that weighs almost nothing, a couple of inches, is not an extraordinary feat of power. He was wondering if he could move a brick, or a horse, or a heavily loaded wagon. How much power is in this ability? And then he shrugged and smiled, realizing that since he cannot control it, it really doesn't matter how powerful it is. And then he thought, "Oh goodness, if I can't control it, what if I deploy it by accident? What if I harm someone by moving something very heavy and I don't know how to control it?" That instantaneous fear quickly evaporated. He realized that that was just a manufactured fear and that it had no merit. There was no use in him worrying about that. In future videos, we'll learn how this unfolds for Gil, and we'll find out if he discovers any other unusual powers that come with this amulet. If you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.